Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. You know, sometimes, baby, I'm so carefree, with a joy that's hard to hide. And then sometimes again it seems that all I have is worry. And then you're bound to see my other side. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. If I seem edgy, I want you to know I never mean to take it out on you. Life has its problems, and I get more than my share. But that's one thing I never mean to do, 'cause I love you. Like anyone, sometimes I find myself alone, regretting some little foolish thing, some simple thing that I've done. 'Cause I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. I try so hard, so please don't let me be misunderstood.
Welcome to the Miles Report. This is DJ Miles, founding member of Bolsheviks Anonymous. We realize that only by appealing to a power higher than ourselves can we overcome our disability and be happy hippies, and happy hippies don't kill people. Well, so I must be an unhappy hippie today, because Syria almost lost its second city to the jihadists of ISIS and Jabhat al-Nusra last night when hundreds of fighters stormed into the provincial capital Idlib, captured the newly installed governor's office, and began beheading Syrian army officers. Now, these are the armies of stooges that we gave $500 million to after the fall of Mosul, okay, that, you know, back to Robert Fisk. By the time government, and this is from today, by the time the government troops recaptured the building, at least 70 soldiers, many senior officers, had been executed, leaving one of the oldest cities in Syria in chaos. They were slaughtered, a message to Damascus says, before the army was able to declare Idlib saved. Eastern city of Raqqa has been in the hands of ISIS for months, lies strategically... But Idlib lies strategically placed between Aleppo and the coastal city of Latakia, both of which are still held by President Bashar al-Assad's regime. Idlib fall would have been a devastating blow to the government. Of course, Latakia we know because that's where the mothers of kidnapped children, that's where the children were kidnapped from mothers who identified their children in the bogus chemattack videos pointed to by the skanky Yankee misbegotten spawn of the slime buckets up the Thames. I don't know. At one point, the Assad administration was told the city had fallen after police and security officers in the headquarters of Governor Kir Adib Assad have defected to the rebels. Many did, in fact, surrender the building, but and continue fighting By chance, soldiers on the city's perimeter did not receive this news and continued to fight hundreds of jihadis trying to break into Idlib. They were still holding off the attackers when the governor's office was recaptured. Idlib lies scarcely 30 miles from Syria's largest city, Aleppo, and is home to more than 200,000 people. This museum is well known to long-ago tourists wishing to see the treasures of so-called Roman dead cities of northern Syria, and it has been in a virtual state of siege for well over a year, but the shock at its near collapse was palpable in the capital, Damascus, where the new governor, who was not in his office at the time, managed to call army headquarters just in time to prevent the announcement of Idlib's fall. Although the attackers were identified as Jabhat al-Nusra rebels, the Syrian army regards all of its opponents as terrorists and part of ISIS. The assault was obviously intended to crown another shattering victory for the so-called Islamic Caliphate, which now stretches from eastern Aleppo to the outskirts of Baghdad in Iraq. Now, let me jump to Webster on this same subject.
First big headline of the day, Washington Post, Friday, October 24, 2014. Jihadists, and it means ISIS, okay? ISIS used chemical weapons, poison gas, chlorine gas, used by so-called soi-disant Islamic State, otherwise known as Daesh, this gang, criminal gang. Okay, that's number one. Then we have the president of Chechnya, a real fighter. This is a tough cookie. President Ramzan Kadyrov. And he says, Baghdadi, the caliph, John McCain's friend, should confess that he is a CIA agent. And Kadyrov points out that the people from ISIS are smaitan, they are devils, and they're in it for money and rape. So they are not any kind of religious movement based on anybody's sacred text. They are brigands and gangsters. So I think this essentially qualifies Kadyrov as a supporter of the Arrest McCain for ISIS campaign, because he is, in fact, pointing out that birds of a feather flock together, and that Baghdadi, alias Badri, alias Caliph Ibrahim, is a CIA agent. Yes, that makes a lot of sense. And, of course, we have been documenting how ISIS has been built up by the U.S. intelligence services. Of course, we have to remember, back in the 1920s and 1930s, Hitler was built up as a powerful force by the British, by the French, even the Soviets through the KPD, and ultimately through the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact, had a role in building up the power of Hitler, right? The KPD did nothing to stop the seizure of power by the Nazis. No general strike, nothing of the kind. Hitler then turned in the spring of 1940 into a Frankenstein's monster, and then he had to be fought. And you can certainly, there's no contradiction between saying fight Hitler, i.e. fight ISIS in this case, and the power relation. There's no comparison between the power of Hitler, which was very great, and the power of ISIS, which is ultimately a joke as a paper tiger. They have the hype of the media. But you have to fight them, even though the CIA and the Saudis and Qatar and the Rahman al-Faisal, they built them up. That doesn't change the fact that you've got to fight them. So those two interesting points. And what this adds up to is what we've been arguing. There is a real axis of evil. A new axis of evil, or a real axis of evil, because the other one was a phony coming from George Bush the Younger and his speechwriter David Frum, whom I debated last year, I guess it was. The new axis of evil, Qatar, Turkey, ISIS, the Muslim Brotherhood, the infamous Ikhwan, and then people like John McCain, John Kerry, and who knows what generals in the Pentagon who don't want to attack ISIS. And I would point out a lot of people on Fox News with their defeatist propaganda are essentially signaling that they're not interested in a war against ISIS. They want a war against Putin or a war against Assad. So what's been happening, there is progress on the ground. Let's just go through the main points quickly. Remember that Dempsey had signaled that he was a defeatist about a week ago, saying, well, the ISIS have been driven out of most of Kobane, but it may be only temporary. It may not be possible to save Kobane. ISIS may conquer the city eventually, at which point I said, fire him. Fire Dempsey. We cannot have defeatists in office, right? That's worse than George McClellan 150 years ago. Right now, remember, no, October 1864 was Lincoln against McClellan, McClellan the defeatist. And the same goes for Kerry. Now.
Oh, we can go back to the Robert Fisk article. Ferocity attacks. Some soldiers managed to call Damascus to alert the government to their imminent execution. Shows just how hard-pressed the Syrian regime is in its battle against the same enemy the U.S. President Barack Obama has promised to degrade and destroy. Degraded was the one thing the armed men who stormed Idlib appeared not to be. When they arrived in the city center, much of their comrades flooded into the Iraqi city of Mosul. Where the caliphate was first declared, the gunmen made sure to capture as many senior regime officers as possible. Their murder by ritual beheading with a knife rather than shooting was entirely in keeping with ISIS policy. Before they lost the center of the city, Jabhat al-Nusra was boasting that its victory was a second Raqqa, and that soon you will hear the screams of unbelievers. At Mushima Hill, outside the city, the jihadists captured two army tanks and 12 soldiers. Their fate still unknown, while police in the city, apparently in league with would-be suicide bombers, opened the governor's office to the attackers. It seems they were able to identify the senior regime soldiers for decapitation. They could not be saved. Governor officials in Damascus would speak only of many dead when the first news of the assault reached the capital. Country's army has already lost at least 33,000 men. The real figure may well be above 46,000, and the fall of Idlib would have marked a gruesome new stage in the Syrian war. Last night, the government's flag again flew over the governor's office, but for how long? That was Robert Fisk. Let's go to the comments here. Far-flung Star says, poor Syria being torn at by the bastard Wahhabi sons of Saudi Arabia. Syria needs to exact a tenfold payback on these corrupt pedophile monsters. Whatever did these people do to deserve this? No quarter given treatment. And I wonder why bombs are not falling on the heads of Saudi princes and of Jordanian, Qatari, Kuwaiti, UAE puppet monarchies and Zionist settler states instead of, what the hell, the peaceful multi-ethnic Syrian state? Why is it being destroyed and where are their friends? And when will the payback come for unleashing these criminal scumbags into this society? The Syrians are doing the right thing! Exclamation points. Coming together to protect their land and people from thugs and killers. We are not helping them because we are responsible as well. F_CK. Fuck you, Obama, for helping these terrorist lowlives wherever you can. Seriously, your legacy should be a garbage dump of shame and vileness. You and your so-called Democratic Republican two-headed disease. The CIA, the Pentagon, the State Department. Call off your dogs. A thousand curses upon you and all those responsible. I hope Prince Bandar is cut in half live on TV for real. Now, you know what they always say about... I was just expressing what this guy, Far-Flung Star, wrote on the Syrian Army Information Clearinghouse article by Robert Fisk. Here's another one by Paul Craigs Roberts. Is the U.S. government the master criminal of our time? But, okay. As I read this notice from clinicaltrials.gov, a service of the U.S. National Institute of Health, the U.S. government and pharmaceutical corporations have been conducting Ebola tests on humans. http://clinicaltrials.gov/show/nct02041715. This is official confirmation of Dr. Boyle and Dr. Broderick's report that the U.S. government has conducted Ebola experiments. Perhaps the vaccine was not effective, and those on whom the experiment was conducted came down with Ebola, and perhaps also employees in the U.S. biowarfare laboratories located in Africa where the experiment was conducted. It appears that the test consists of giving an Ebola vaccine and then exposing the unaware person to Ebola, apparently an engineered version for biowarfare. Whatever the tests are, it is clear that Boyle and Broderick in their articles below are correct that experimentation with Ebola by the U.S. government is underway. Two scientists say Ebola originated in U.S. biowarfare labs. Experts have brought to the public's attention that Ebola is a genetically modified organism developed in U.S. biowarfare laboratories in Africa. In the two articles below, reproduced from Tom Feely's Information Clearinghouse, a good site worthy of your support, Dr. Francis Boyle of the University of Illinois and Dr. Cyril Broderick of the University of Liberia and the University of Delaware provide their fact-based assessment. Dr. Boyle drafted the Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act of 1989, the U.S. implementing legislation for the 1972 Biological Weapons Convention. For speaking out, both Boyle and Broderick will be viciously attacked by U.S. print and TV media. Remember the case of Gary Webb, who exposed the CIA's drug running that supported the Contras in Nicaragua. The cocaine that launched the war on drugs was brought in by the CIA. Another op-ed news article, W Post, Slimy Assault on G by Robert Perry, CIA Cocaine, Gary Webb Journalism, blah, 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 blah. These are URLs for the articles by Dr. Boyle and Dr. Broderick. Information Clearinghouse, gobbledygook. Maybe I can just read it. U.S. biowarfare laboratories in West Africa are the origins of the Ebola epidemic by Professor Francis Boyle. Could Ebola have escaped from U.S. biowarfare labs? American law professor Francis Boyle answers questions for TVXSGR.gr and reveals that USA have been using West Africa as an offshore to circumvent the Convention on Bioweapons and do biowarfare work. Is Ebola just a result of health crisis in Africa because of the large gaps in personal equipment and medicines, as some experts suggest? That isn't true at all. This is just propaganda being put out by everyone. It seems to me that what we are dealing with here is a biological warfare work that was conducted at the biowarfare laboratory set up by the USA on the west coast of Africa. And if you look at a map produced by the Center of Disease Control, you can see where these laboratories are located, and they are across the heart of the Ebola epidemic at the west coast of Africa. So I think these laboratories, one or more of them, are the origins of the Ebola epidemic. U.S. government agencies are supposed to do defensive biological warfare research in these labs. Is there any information about what they are working on? Well, that's what they tell you, but if you study what the CDC and the Pentagon do, they say it's defensive, but this is just for public relations purposes more than anything. It is a trick. What it means is that they decide at these biowarfare labs. They say, well, we have to develop a vaccine, so that's their defensive argument. Then what they do is to develop the biowarfare agent itself, usually by means of DNA genetic engineering. And then they say, well, to get the vaccine, we have to develop the biowarfare agent, usually, and then they try to work on the vaccine. So it's two uses type of work. I haven't read all of these biowarfare contracts, but that's typical of the way the Pentagon CDC has been doing this since at least the 80s. I have absolute proof from a Pentagon document that the Center of Disease Control was doing biowarfare work for the Pentagon in Sierra Leone, the heart of the outbreak, as early as 1988. And indeed, it was probably before then because they would have had to construct a lab and that would have taken some time. So we know that Fort Detrick and the Center for Disease Control are over there. Tulane University, which is a well-known biowarfare center here in the USA, I would say notorious for it, is there. They all have been there. In addition, USA government made sure that Liberia, a former colony of the USA, never became a party to the Biological Weapons Convention, so they were able to do biowarfare work over there going back to the 80s. the USA government in order to circumvent the Biological Weapons Convention. Likewise, Guinea, the third state affected there, and there's an increase now, didn't even sign the Biological Weapons Convention. So it seems to me that the different agencies of the U.S. government have been always there to try to circumvent the Biological Weapons Convention and engage in biowarfare work. Indeed, we have had one of these two lab bio warriors admit in the New York Times that they were not over there for the purpose of either screening or treating people. That's not what these labs are about. These labs are there, in my opinion, to do biowarfare work for different agencies of the U.S. government. Indeed, many of them were set up by USAID, and everyone knows that USAID is penetrated all the way up and down by the CIA, and CIA has been involved in biowarfare work as well. Are we being told the truth about Ebola? Is that big outbreak began all of a sudden? How does it spread so quickly? The whole outbreak that we see in the west coast of Africa, this is Zaire Ebola, the most dangerous of five subtypes of Ebola. Zaire Ebola originated 3,500 kilometers from the west coast of Africa. There's absolutely no way it could have been transmitted 3,500 kilometers. And if you read the recently published Harvard study on the DNA analysis of the West Africa's Zaire Ebola, there is no explanation about how the virus moved there. And indeed, it's been reported in the New York Times that the Zaire Ebola was found there in 1976, when WHO ordered to be set to Porton Down in Britain, which is the British equivalent of Fort Detrick, where they manufacture all the biological weapons for Britain. And then Britain sent it to the U.S. Center for Disease Control, and we know for a fact the Center for Disease Control has been involved in biological warfare work. And then it appears, at least from whatever I've been able to put together in a public record, that the CDC and several other U.S. biowarriors exported Zaire Ebola to West Africa to their labs there, where they were doing this biowarfare work on it. So I believe this is the origins of the Zaire Ebola pandemic we are seeing now in West Africa. Why would they do that? As I suggested, to try to circumvent the Biological Weapons Convention, to which the U.S. government is a party. So always, bio-warriors do use offensive and defensive bio-warfare work, violating the Biological Weapons Convention. So effectively, they try to offshore it into West Africa, where Liberia is not a party and Guinea is not a party. Sierra Leone is a party, but in Sierra Leone and Liberia, there were disturbances which kept the world from really paying attention to what was going on in these labs. Question, USA sent troops to, quote, fight Ebola. What do you think about that move? The U.S. military just invaded Liberia. They sent in the 101st Airborne Division to Liberia. That's an elite division of combat, and they have no training to provide medical treatment to anyone. They are there to establish a military base in Liberia, and the British are doing the same in Sierra Leone. The French are already in Mali and Senegal, so they are not sending military people there to treat people. No, I'm sorry. Weren't they afraid Ebola is going to get out of control even in the USA or EU in a massive way? It's already gone in the USA and the European Union, so there it is, which raises the question, was this Zaire Ebola weaponized in any of these labs? I don't have an answer to that question. I'm trying to get an answer, and therefore it is much more dangerous than the WHO and the CDC are telling everyone. The WHO and the CDC are up to their eyeballs in this. They know all about what's going on. It was the WHO that ordered the original Zaire Ebola in 1976 to be sent to Porton Down for biological warfare purposes. So this could be more dangerous than the WHO and the CDC are saying. And you can't believe anything they're telling you because they are involved in that. But certainly I can't say it has been weaponized. I don't know that for sure. I have the Harvard genetic analysis of it. When I was in college, I had very good courses in genetics and biochemistry and population biology. But I am not a professor in genetics. I have a friend who's a professor of genetics, and he is going to take a look at this and try to figure out if there's been DNA genetic engineering perpetrated or performed on the Zaire Ebola. Is there a genetically modified organism at work? A GMO? I don't know. But if a GMO is at work, that's a pretty good sign it's been weaponized. But anyway, it is far more dangerous than the CDC and the WHO are telling anyone because it's clearly transmitted for a certain distance. We don't know how far, by air, breathing and coughing and sneezing. So anyone treating people, seems to me, are going to need not only protective suit but probably a breathing apparatus at minimum. And you saw what happened to that Spanish nurse and that Spanish priest that were brought in, infected with Ebola. So Right now, the WHO and the CDC are telling healthcare workers that in addition to suits, they need breathing apparatuses. So again, I don't believe you can trust anything the WHO or the CDC are telling you. And I really don't know about the European Health Agency. If they're believing the WHO and the CDC, then in my opinion, they are not properly protecting the health of the European people. And it's simply bizarre the CDC and the WHO are relegating the screening to the people in West Africa. It's just bizarre. They need to be protecting the health of their own people and what the European Health Agency is recommending, but they certainly can't rely upon the WHO and the CDC. As for Greece, I know you have your own health ministry there, and they cannot rely upon them as well. Some experts told recently the Forbes magazine that even ISIS could use Ebola as a biological weapon. I would like to have your comment on that. That is total propaganda. These people are trying to distract public opinion from the fact. My opinion is that the origins of the current pandemic came out of the USA biowarfare labs in West Africa. So, since they mentioned ISIS, let's go back there. But this is all coming from the Chicken Shit Nincompoops weaponizing health workers by using this vaccination program in South Asia to target their puppet, Usama, capital USAMA.
Now, the basic story around Kobane. More bombing as a result of agitation from a number of sources, including this one. ISIS clobbered, ISIS strained, ISIS sending raw recruits into action, pulling in cannon fodder from all sorts of places. This stuff takes a real toll. ISIS then retreating from Kobane. The United States finally accepting to work with the Syrian Kurds, share intelligence, and use their spotters to call in airstrikes, even within the city of Kobane. That was elementary, should have been done a long time before, but they said, oh, well, we haven't vetted them. Well, vet this, as some have said. The second aspect of that is then U.S. airdrops of equipment, of weapons, of ammunition, of medical supplies and other necessary goods to the Syrian Kurds. This is the YPG. Claimed is supposedly an arm of the PKK, will be skeptical from Missouri on that one. Then, a couple of the airdrops go astray. And here's where you see the defeatist, right? As soon as two of these parachuted bundles don't go exactly where they were supposed to, the defeatist chorus, the Hannitys and others, come out and say, this proves that the entire thing is a failure. That was the Democratic Party 150 years ago. The war is a failure. Lincoln is a tyrant. We're all bankrupt. Our living standard is being eroded. It was actually going up. But you get the idea. Defeatism. And when you see that kind of carping defeatist criticism, you know you're dealing with somebody who's soft on terrorism and probably soft on fascism as well. So a couple of bundles go into the hands of ISIS. It won't save them, but it's really needed on the other side. Then the Turkish President Erdogan comes out and impudently, insulting the United States, says it's wrong to drop equipment to those Syrian Kurds. Well, that's just too much. Who the hell does he think he is?
Targeted different parts of the city on Wednesday. The war in the city has killed hundreds of residents and forced over 160,000 others to flee their homes over the past weeks. UN officials have warned that thousands of people will most likely be massacred if Kobane falls to the ISIL. Let's bring in Mati Darius Nazem Royaya, author and geopolitical analyst, who joins us from Ottawa to share his thoughts on this. Well, welcome to the program. Let's see, let there be no doubt, I think you would agree, that our hats have to go off to those Kurdish fighters. They're putting up a good fight against the ISIL. So much so the ISIL is calling in their forces, their terrorist forces, from Syria to give them reinforcements to try to defeat these Kurdish fighters. And of course you have the U.S. I'm sure they're aware that this is going on, and yet from the top, They're not targeting these ISIL terrorists. Why do you think the U.S. is playing the game that it is regarding the ISIL in this respect and further?
Well, I think it's very important to look back at the last few weeks, the events that happened have happened around Kobani, or as it's called in Arabic, Ayn al-Arab. It's very important to look at the position of the United States vis-a-vis the United States Department of State, which is their foreign ministry. When reporters asked the spokeswoman for the U.S. State Department, why are there so little strikes near Kobani? The journalist that spoke to the spokeswoman for the U.S. State Department pointed out that not only was there very little strikes on the area, but that the ISIL, Daesh, was getting stronger. The airstrikes were doing nothing. And the reaction of the State Department was very telling. It was very revealing. They said that Kobani is not a strategic objective for the United States. Now, number one, very little bombings around it. Number two, it's not a strategic objective. Now, I'd like to also throw in statements being made by Kurds in Syria, including their officials, who are saying that the Turkey is actually helping these Daesh fighters or ISIL fighters or ISIL fighters, whatever you'd like to call them. These terrorists, these militants, these anti-government forces in Syria. And what they've said is that there's been pressure is being put on the Syrian Kurds in Western Kurdistan or Syrian Kurdistan to force them to actually work against the Syrian government, to actually join forces with the Free Syrian Army. I'd like to point out something, that while these attacks are going on against Kobani, which is central to the autonomous region of Kurdish autonomous region in Syria. It's the central canton or district or governorate, whatever you'd like to call it. While this has been happening, the Turks have been negotiating with the PKK, with the Syrian Kurds, and trying to get concessions from them. So they're using military force, and they're trying to get concessions at the same time on these Kurds. And at the same time, they want to use a bloodbath in Syrian Kurdistan as a new Srebrenica, as a new genocide, perception management, to say, look, all these Kurds have died. Now we need to send troops on the ground there. You know, and I'd like to point out that there are special forces on the ground from the coalition of the guilty that the U.S. has formed that are actually bombing. What are they bombing in Syria? What I've heard and the reports I'm reading in Syria are oil infrastructure, wheat facilities for agriculture, civilian homes. That's what they've been bombing. And this is part of a U.S. tactic to destroy civilian infrastructure. We've seen it in Iraq over the years. It's a patented tactic, by the way. And we're even seeing it in Ukraine, where U.S. mercenaries are helping the Ukrainian National Guard attack the resistance or the rebels in eastern Ukraine. So this is what's happening there.
Well, you mentioned in one of your articles that ISIL, or the threat of the ISIL, is something that's been inflated by the Pentagon to the point that it's a smokescreen, because the objective there is to go and bomb Syria. I'm assuming that you also perhaps mean that this no-fly zone that's been now regurgitated back into the theater of Syria, that's going to involve Turkey, who's made that as a precondition, perhaps may come into fruition. Is that the goal, at least the first step, which ultimately, if it gets enacted, is going to destroy Syria? Because you're going to have, I'm assuming, from the air, the U.S. And on the ground, maybe Turkish fighters getting involved, if the ultimate goal is to topple Bashar al-Assad?
Well, they want to destroy Syria. That doesn't mean it's going to happen. Of course, they've injured Syria. They've bloodied it. They've attacked Syria. It's been under siege, but they want to destroy Syria. This doesn't mean it's going to happen. Syria has friends like Iran, friends like Russia, friends like Hezbollah, friends in Latin America, friends in the post-Soviet space such as Belarus, Kazakhstan, Armenia. It's not alone. And because it's not alone, this isn't happening. But you're absolutely right, Kaveh. What they do want to do is they want to get boots on the ground and they want to finish what they started in Syria. They want regime change. It's no coincidence that when Daesh, or the ISIL, attacked Mosul in Iraq, the U.S. government announced that we're going to give $500 million, $500 million to the anti-government forces in Syria. Who are the anti-government forces in Syria? More or less, they're the same people that have been rebranded. Don't fall for these name changes. These are the same head cutters and heart eaters that have been attacking Syria since 2011. And we know they've been trained in places like Jordan, the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, one of the U.S.'s dictatorship allies in the region.
Occupy Wall Street. I want to make sure everybody knows that Occupy Oakland is starting on Monday at Frank Ogawa Plaza, soon to be renamed to Oscar Grant Plaza.
Down in history. Occupied Oakland camp. This morning, the raid on the Occupied Oakland camp was a test.
Was a test.
The test was to see how the community would react. I'm proud to see all of you showing up here in Oakland to show that you are real.
You know how. And let's try and get some of these YouTube clips to play, okay? We're going to give it our best shot here. First and third Thursdays of every month, we have a meeting at 7 o'clock at the Long Hall. This is right near Ashby Bart, so wherever you live in the Bay Area, you can come and bop over. 7 p.m., you do a show pitch. Usually nobody trips out too bad. They'll let you join. It is $20 per month for show dues. And we welcome newcomers. Please come. Open meeting, 7 p.m., Long Hall, Thursdays, first and third Thursdays of every month. All right. Okay, well, I guess we'll keep going. What the hell, right?
And I in a little toy shop, buy a bag of balloons with the money we got. Set them free at the break of dawn, till one by one they were gone. Got hit those bugs in the software, flash the message, something's out there, blowing in the summer snow. 99 red balloons fell down.
Knew that was going to happen. Sorry about that. Okay, well, I really want to play this song next. Such a pretty song. Hits me in the face, it's so pretty.
They hide in the light, so you can't see their fears.
It's an open secret. You know, the U.S. is going to train more moderates in Saudi Arabia to overthrow the regime, the government in Damascus. Terrorists are terrorists, regardless of whether you call them moderate. You want to use the term Islamic. I see nothing Islamic or Muslim about Daesh. You know, when you rape women, when you blow up mosques, when you make alliances with the unworthy. I mean, I don't see any of this as being killing prisoners. This is all contradictory to Islam. So, I mean, people who are ignorant about what Muslims stand for and what Islam is could believe these fairy tales being spun about Daesh being a Muslim entity. And I'm very glad that a lot of people in the Middle East are voicing that Daesh has nothing to do with Muslims, because at the same time, they're using this force to make Muslims look like savages, which is part of a broader war that's also going to target countries like Iran, Syria's allies in the region. But they want their feet on the ground in Syria, and they want regime change. And these talks about arguments between Turkey and Washington, I would not buy them at all. You know, the Turkish government for a long time has pretended it's against Israel. I remember when President Erdogan was the prime minister of Turkey, he said we should kick the Israeli ambassador out of the UN. But the man didn't even dare kick the Israeli ambassador out of Ankara. So it's just talk. They want this buffer zone because what they want to do is they want to reimpose the Libyan model in Syria. What do I mean by the Libyan model? Well, I'll be very clear. When the no-fly zones were established in the Libyan Arab Jamhuriya during 2011 by NATO in Benghazi, the no-fly zones were used to create an enclave for the anti-government forces, for the militants, and they want to do the same thing in Syria. They want to create this northern buffer zone on the Turkish border, and this is why they want to get rid of the Kurdish fighters in Kobani. These Kurdish fighters in Syrian Kurdistan, let me be very clear, they're not puppets for Turkey, for Israel, or for the United States. They're independent, and you know what? You can see that how independent they are because they choose autonomy without breaking up Syria as one of their ways of showing their independence. It's very different from, let's say, the Kurdish government in the Kurdistan regional government that wants to break up Iraq. And it'll be a fake autonomy because it'll be Western Turkish firms that'll control everything. When people don't own anything, I don't know how you can call them independent. But the ones in Syria are totally different. They're aligned to the government in Damascus, and they just want to get rid of them so they can create this enclave on the Turkish-Syrian border, and then, like a domino effect strategy, go towards Damascus.
It's a pleasure talking to you. I wish we had more time. Mahdi Darius, Nazem Roy, author and geopolitical analyst, are talking to us from Ottawa. It's a pleasure.
I'm going to let Iraqi Kurds from northern Iraq transit through Turkey, and we're going to let them out at Kobane, and they're going to drive the ISIS fighters away. And even the defeatists in the U.S. military, radio, Webster Tarpley here in Washington, D.C. So ISIS has carried out a third gas attack, and the president of Chechnya, Kadyrov, says Baghdadi, that means Caliph Ibrahim, must confess he's a CIA agent heading up a devilish, diabolical organization whose goal is money, more Rolex watches, no doubt. So that seems to be evolving in a positive way. By the way, we've got the Blackwater Four convicted, right, going back to the war crimes of Iraq. And remember, Bill O'Reilly on Fox News has been calling for the creation of an international mercenary army to go and defeat terrorism. Well, that's what Blackwater was, exactly, to a T. And Eric Prince had been the head of the whole thing at the time, had been saying, yes, that's what we need. But then, of course, the problem is that it was tried before, and it led to military defeat and to war crimes. So that is the last word on O'Reilly's proposal for mercenaries. If you get a merc, the merc will run amok. And remember Machiavelli, mercenaries are useless and dangerous because they will betray you at the key moment.
Oh yeah, God, I love that song. All right, so we're gonna bring it down a little bit. You know you want to. Just chill out a little bit, relax with a little bit of relaxing, happy songs.
I'm your only friend, but I'm a little blind friend, but really I'm not actually your friend, but I am.
Got the world on my ass, and I'm gonna jump down. Be the first, come with us.
I don't know how
that little bird has in your soul. What's up with you, find a pine on it? Say I'm the only bee in your body. Like a little bird has in your soul. I have a secret to tell from my electrical well. It's a simple message, and I'm leaving out the whistles and bells. So the room must listen to me, for the buster vigilantly. My name is Blue Canary, one note spelled L-I-T-E. My story's infinite, like a Logic Symphony. It doesn't rest, Blue Canary in the eye by the light switch. Who watches over you? Make a little birdhouse in your soul. Not to put you find a pine on it. Say I'm the only bee in your body. Make a little birdhouse in your soul.
Universe, if you ask me. God, it makes me so happy. Girls shouldn't be as happy as I am when I hear that song. It's not right. Okay.
Song for one of the godfathers of punk, all that rock star bullshit that he would debunk. He lived himself a musical comedy when he the show. Now he's dead for over 5 years. Are all the tributes from all your careers. No effects for years made their way, laughing at what the political punks had to say. Taking the piss out of everyone's anger and passion. We're being a shill for the warp sneaker tour fashion. Epitaph, you make us cry then laugh as you kick back, making the cash. You're the chief magnet of the music money machine. Yeah, you could say you fucked up the scene, raking in millions. All that dough, what does the scene have to show? Shrewd businessman, you made your big score for the bands charging $30 at the door. Well, you fat cats can slap yourselves in the back. You greedy piggishness, documented facts. You all think you're so special and swell. Real punks ever hope you burn in hell. So this is a song for Timmy. Yo, you were true blue. You could see where it was going, you already knew. Bad Religion hanging out with Britney Spears, Pink and Rancid helping each other's careers. Sold yourself out for a little better distribution. It's an old line, and it's a shitty fucking solution. Now you're part of the music conglomeration. You go and sell your punk attitudes to the whole nation. So I'm sorry if it all doesn't mean a shit to me. This music was supposed to set us free, not to buy up houses up in Hollywood Hills. All you talented people, you give me the chills.
Couple of tangents when I stopped Webster's rant. Let's see, the first one was Russinello, because they replaced the DA that was that had me 25 foot from the roadway. Now, you heard me on Hiroshima Day there, sitting on the tracks. Everybody is familiar in the protests community of Concord Naval Weapons Station, where my friend lost his legs, and I knew him when he had those legs. But it's a railroad crossing along Port Chicago Highway. The roadway is paved cyclone fence to cyclone fence, so they wouldn't let me play the tape at my trial for my Hiroshima Day arrest, the first Hiroshima Day after we blew ourselves up, Pentagon's 9/11/01 operation. And so I said, well, it doesn't matter. Our arresting officer agreed I was 25 foot from the road, from the middle of the road, right? Because there's this line 30 foot from the middle of the road that says no trespassing. So I was sitting, right, you know, like 5 foot from the trespassing area. And the judge said, no, you misheard. He said 35 feet. So I wondered what the clerk was going to do. Well, turns out they just removed the word center, so I'm supposedly 25 foot from the roadway, which if you picture it, I could only be 25 foot from the roadway at the tracks if I was 25 straight up in the air. So Kevin Ryan, for years in federal court, was abiding by the federal court, municipal court transcript in the federal trial, alleging that that was the truth of the matter. So even though he was that corrupt, he was not corrupt enough to go after Barry Bonds. So why don't I see my mic?
Mike, because I've been talking.
But having the mic off is pretty better than over-modulating, huh? So the other segue from Webster, because he was saying we need to break into the Fed and get them to back the municipal bonds so that we can do all this infrastructure. Now, I am a veteran of Tessai protests. So let me read my letter 53101 to Judge Sullivan. Defendant lacks time to prepare a complete defense and requests up to a 6-month continuance. Defendants ask court to take judicial notice of the ongoing plutonium contamination subcritical tests. Plutonium contamination violate 1996 ruling barring preparations of weapons of mass destruction. See 8 July 96 International Court of Justice advisory opinion. Legality of the threat or use of nuclear weapons. Oh, that was by Francis Boyle, we heard from earlier in this mouse report. See also Judge Alphonse F. Witt's jury instructions in People versus Jarka, J-A-R-K-A, number 002170 in Circuit Court of Lake County, Waukegan, Illinois, W-A-U-K-E-E-G-A-N. Quote, the use or threat of use of nuclear weapons is a war crime or an attempted war crime because such would violate international law by causing unnecessary suffering, failing to distinguish between combatants and non-combatants, and poisoning its targets by radiation. Under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, defendant's civil resistance to this violation of law was an exercise of the right to peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 6 of the Constitution, the Supremacy Clause, requires us to honor the treaties being violated. These include UN Charter, Geneva Conventions, Nuremberg Principles, as well as the Treaty of Ruby Valley, which requires those entering the Western Shoshone Nation to be peaceable. I contracted melanoma skin cancer while living in Bay Point and West Pittsburgh, a few miles downwind from Building 81, the Concord Weapon Station nuclear bunker, where tritium leaked downwind to a cancer cluster. I came to Nevada because you have the same problem. As a Nevada resident, I'm sure you are aware of the deadly radioactivity being brought into your state. Stable atoms are necessary for all living things. There are no stable elements heavier than lead. Unstable atoms are the basis for nuclear power and weapons. If a single atom changes in any of our tens of thousands of genes, we cannot put the next generations together the way they should have been. With an MCAT score of 98% in science, I cannot play dumb about the fact federal crimes are behind the deaths of many Nevada residents. I am sure you know what the innocent people in Nevada would say if given the question, but right now, in this case, you are the only one with a vote. If I am to be denied my constitutional right to a fair trial by lack of counsel, in parentheses, I have, quote, save your BS for the courtroom. If you're going to raise all these legal issues, why don't you represent yourself, unquote. That was Knight County Public Defender. Or presumption of sovereign immunity for federal crimes. If I am to be denied my constitutional right to a fair trial by lack of counsel or presumption of sovereign immunity for federal crimes, I move for dismissal for lack of jurisdiction, which should be federal if necessary to examine my defense. Sincerely, Greg Giddy, Nuremberg Actions, Pittsburgh, 925-746-1168. Because I still have the same Nuremberg pager from the tracks. Okay, where are we? Was we? Hello, hello. Oh, did I stop myself?
Professor Greenberger.
Was we? Well, I made the chief of appointment and his limit or reducing the bill from 300 to 1,990 with the same 647C violation and citation 56, 56, 723. Now,
everyone in that courtroom was witness to the fact I was the first name called. I was asked no questions. I was handed the minute order that transferred me to Department 107, and I was summarily dismissed without the question. Okay. I would like to file a criminal complaint against one of the defenders for obstruction of justice.
Well, it's impossible to make a criminal complaint against someone in Alameda County District Attorney's Office because they are the people driving the getaway car in the Alan Bluford murder, in the Boston bombing, because remember, Todeshev was assassinated by Aaron McFarland, who took the fifth when Officer Pohl, the head of the Internal Affairs, kicked Jerry Amaro to death. that is spawning the writer's case. So when I wake up looking down the barrel of one of you chicken shit nincompoops guns in this county, you know how that goes, it's because you let these guys punk you out. You gotta bend over and spread them every day you step out on the sidewalk and let Arlo, the DA, that did not ask or want to know where we smoked some coke on the way down to Ambush, my fellow media icon, Chauncey Bailey, said. Blah, 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 blah. Let's play something here. So this is from Saturday, June 13, 2009, Chronicle Wire. Let's see, two versions of Oakland homicide investigator's log of his probe into the 2000 deaths. One version says Sergeant Olivia and I.O. Briefed Chief Word on the case. I.O. was directed to transfer case to the Professional Standards Division. That's obviously the internal. So the public record of the case shows that the case was allowed to proceed, because if you transfer it into the internal affairs out of the prosecutor's hands, then you're okay. Then you're saying, okay, the head of the internal affairs can kick Jerry Marta. So the public version says Sergeant Olivius and I.O. briefed Chief Word on the case. I.O. was directed to forward a copy of the case to Professional Standards Division. So the public record has him saying we're forwarding a copy of the case, but what the internal memo said was you're just transferring the case. Former Oakland Police Chief Richard Word denies short-circuiting the case. Jerry Amaro, 35, died a month after being arrested by Oakland police on drug charges. But let me find Pohl, because that's the name I remember that has this role of, in all of these murders, internal affairs is guilty of the murders of innocent people that, of course, they're never going to find another officer guilty when they've gotten this license. But, the other version of the log entry, filed as the department's official public record of the case, suggests the chief let the criminal probe proceed. Amaro, 35, died of complications from broken ribs and a collapsed lung a month after his arrest. Now, this is the heart of the writer's case. In the writer's case, Aaron McFarland took the fifth and refused to testify, which should have bounced him from cops, because he was the assassin the FBI used to silence Todishev, that favorite police interrogation technique of pumping someone full of bullets. Okay, and the patsy, remember, Todishev's father-in-law is Graham Floor, I believe, the Ankara station agent. So Uncle Ruslan is the Halliburton agent. That's where in Chechnya we are, the USA are staging the terrorists, sort of in concert with the KGB, because that Ryazan bombing was the same kind of thing, staged false flag terror to bolster your own racism. In Russia, you have Lermontov a century back talking about wicked Chechens sharpening their kinzels. And of course, here you have 25 cents paid by the people of California for the scalps that George Windsor started off, 40 pounds for the scalps of renegades. And there we are.
Investigation. Hole left and Dennis.
Citations and call back next week, and we have a year for that. Let me read from maybe we have to shut the door. fucking ghost town all. Gaza slaughter protest gets a day in court after 7:30 a.m. arrest for protesting Zimliner at 25 Lowy Middle Harbor Road on 8/18/14 and citation number 5656273. I made the 9:30 Department 107 date. No paperwork, said the clerk. DA's office says they don't stamp citations and call back next week and we have a year to file. Then what's this? I showed her the mandatory courtesy notice for citation number 5656273. Saying I have till November 24th, 2014 to kick down $300. Oh, that's traffic court. We have nothing to do with that. So, back to Department 107 by way of traffic court and Department 103, where I made the 2 o'clock appointment yesterday and whose minute order boosted the bail from $300 to $1,992 for the same 647C violation and citation number 5656723 from guess one, August 18th.
2014.
This is Slaughter
in.
Don't seem to find it.
Aha! This is it. Hello, this is Mike.
What I really said was, I am told it is no longer legal to peaceably assemble by this gentleman over here, referring to their captain who just showed up. And after a half hour of walking with my picket sign in hand, I was told I was no longer allowed to do that by the captain that.
Continue walking back and forth. You can arrest me right now, right here.
Okay.
On that basis.
Okay. Or you want to come over to the sidewalk here?
Yeah,
you have to stay on the sidewalk. If here. I am under arrest, then let's make it obvious, okay? I wouldn't want you to commit a First Amendment violation by arresting me for walking back and forth. And I think there's witnesses.
Now, I told the arresting officer, because I'm not killing Gazans, when he said, got it, when he wanted to know why I felt better locked up in the back of his car. I told the prosecutor on the first day, the 20th, my first day in court, that I wanted bars between me and people. It says I can't walk across the street with a sign. And I said, why did the chicken cross the road? Because the slaughter of thousands of innocents in Gaza. And, of course, he was aware of that. But.
I know. And then everybody will say they came and went, no trouble, business as usual.
Oh, if anybody knows if the Zim Beijing is in port, give us a call at 5 and Dime 49ers 5150 to help. What does that mean? Oh, 4951666. 510-4951 or 1666 if you don't want to get too superstitious on us or.
Okay.
Greg Allen Getty.
Yeah, so that's what you got to look for on the docket. Next court appearance will be on 11-4-14, 8:30, court trial, Department 103. Yay, I got a trial for my infraction. Bad. Hopefully it stays an infraction. Hopefully they don't jack it up to a $1,992 fine like Elizabeth Hendrickson that I then marched in and tried to make a complaint against, but of course, as I said, it's impossible to get the DA that's driving the getaway car in the Alan Bluford murder and so many others to, stop and do her job for 1 second. Where were we?